Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. The Muslim God is impersonal, doesn't care about people and their problems on earth, and severely judges those who don't follow his commandments. While Roman Catholics cannot approach God directly and must have a priest intercede on their behalf. This is in stark contrast to the God of the Bible, who grants us access and cares for the minute details in our lives. But with 7 billion humans on this earth, does God have time to care for each one of us? In this message, Pastor John shares the accounts of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, and Daniel in the Old Testament and what Jesus said and did during his life on this earth. If you don't have complete assurance in the Lord, this message will help you to know that God is not a respecter of persons, and what He will do for one, He will do for others. It is entitled, Can I Trust God? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord. And welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on July 22nd, 2012. And I'm glad you tuned in today, and I'm glad you are here. And today I'm going to be speaking on a subject that God laid upon my heart this week. And it's called, Is God Your Friend? Is God Your Friend? Let's stand for prayer and we get into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments that we have here today to look into the Word of God. And I pray right now, Lord, that Father, you will touch us, open up the Scriptures to us in such a way that we shall be able to understand it, apply it, use it, live it, and be victorious. And this is my prayer right now, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Do you realize that Muslims are taught that God is not a God of love? He's a God of judgment. If you have a Muslim background, if you're a Muslim watching us, you know this, that you really don't believe you can have a lot of sympathy coming from God. If you're a Roman Catholic, you know this, that you have to go to the priest. If you want to have something, you got to go to confession. You got to do all these different things. And then, have you ever thought about this? Does God really love me? Is God my friend? And I really want to go deep with you today because in our hearts, from time to time, when things begin to pile up, and everything goes wrong, we begin to ask this question. Is God really there? Does He care? Can I trust Him? Is He my friend? Now, I asked God, how do I present this in a sermon? And He gave me a number of instances in the Old Testament. And in the year, we're going to start with Jesus and Abraham. And I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. That's Genesis, the 18th chapter. And you're going to pick it up in verse number 16. Genesis 18. But I want to read the first three verses here. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he set in a tent toward the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the town door. And he bowed himself to the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I've found favor in your sight, pass me not away, I pray you, from your servant. Now, what did you see Jesus here? Because Jesus is the one that appeared in the Old Testament. And Jesus now came with two angels in the heat of the day. And here was Abraham in his tent, and Sarah had a tent behind, and other tents, and there were camels and oxen and all kind of different animals there. And as it came, Abraham recognized, this is not just anyone. This is the Lord. If you say, well, I never heard about Jesus in the Old Testament. The Bible says, no man can see God and live. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God came here in the form of Jesus. And if you read in that chapter, you will find that Jesus and Abraham are having a conversation. Now, I really want you to think about this. If you go to a restaurant and you want to eat, you expect to have your food in no, if it is a nice restaurant, maybe 15 minutes, maximum 20, or you walk out. If you go to one of these fast places, you expect to have your food in 5 minutes or less. Now, Abraham said, would you hang out here, Lord? I'm going to go and kill the fatted calf. I'm going to cut him up and dress him. I'm going to have my wife bake some cakes. And we're going to barbecue this nice meal for you. You're talking about 2 to 3 hours. But Jesus, his stranger, sat there. And he waited for Abraham. Did Jesus need the food? No. Why did Jesus eat? Why did he eat? He ate because he wanted to honor Abraham. Have you ever tried to give a gift to somebody? And you're really excited about it. And you come up to somebody and says, I'd like you to have this. And the person says, I can't accept that. What's that do to you? It crushes you inside. Jesus could have said, hey, Abraham, I just came down from heaven. You don't even have electricity here. You don't even have running water, Abraham. I just came down to talk to you. He didn't do that. He simply said, I'd be glad to wait. And he had a meal. But now, I want to see what Abraham said, or what Jesus said about Abraham. Genesis 18:16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his house unto him, and that they should keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord might bring upon Abraham that which is spoken of him. Look at that phrase. For I know him. Jesus said, I know Abraham. I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do. And if you read the rest of that chapter, you will find that Abraham, he had his brother's son in Sodom and Gomorrah, his nephew. And he simply said this, God, if there are 50 righteous men in the city, would you spare them? And Jesus said, yes. And then he argued with him and talked with him, and he got it down to 10. Jesus did not say, Abraham, get out of my face. You don't understand. I'm fed up with these people in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to cream them. He didn't say that. He listened to Abraham. And he said, yes. Look in verse number 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10th sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he left communion with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Jesus could not find 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want you to see that Abraham had confidence. Jesus treated Abraham with respect. After all, he's a created being. Abraham's just a created being, just a man. But I want you to see that God respects you. He gives us a chance to say yes or no. But he does respect us. He loves us. He will not violate our wills. And he's trying to woo us to do what he wants us to do. Turn to Deuteronomy now, chapter 34. There's Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter, which is the last chapter in Deuteronomy. We're going to talk about Moses. Now Moses first encountered God in a burning bush. And then he saw all the different things happen in Egypt, the 10 plagues and so on, the miracles he had. In chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, we read this. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south and the plain, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees of the Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swear to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto your seed. I will cause you to see with your eyes, but you shall not go over thither. Moses had sinned against God. Prior to this, God had told him to speak to the rock. He was a rock. In his anger, he went over and smote the rock twice. Water came out, and Jesus told him, because of this, you will never get into the promised land in the flesh. But he said, I'll let you see it. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knows of his sepulcher unto this day. I want you to see this now. Jesus personally buried the body of Moses. He didn't allow anyone to perform his funeral. He didn't want the people of Israel to have the body of Moses. You know what they would have done? They would have built a mausoleum right there, a big shrine, the shrine of Moses. And instead of worshiping God, they would have gone there to worship Moses, just like the Muslims do with Muhammad and other religions do. So Jesus buried him himself. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. That means he did not have any cataracts. Nor his natural force abated. In other words, he was full of power. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. And look now in verse number 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses loved Jesus. Jesus loved Moses. Now, when the time came for Jesus to be crucified, two men appeared unto him, Moses and Elijah. And God the Father sent Moses back with Elijah on the mountain of Transfiguration, where Moses now could strengthen Jesus, who now had become man in the flesh, and strengthen him about his death and resurrection. Have you ever stopped to think about the honor? God could have sent an angel down and saying, go and talk to Jesus here and give him instructions. But he sent Moses and Elijah. God cared for Moses. Now turn to Joshua chapter 1. What do you do when you take over a job after a giant? Moses was a huge picture, so to say. He was a huge man. He was a great leader. Here comes Joshua now. Probably about 70 years old when he took over. And God knew that he had to talk to Joshua. Let's read from Joshua chapter 1 and see what God told him. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and this is Jesus speaking to him now, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, and the land which I give you to them, the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses, for the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the great Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Look at these words spoken by Jesus. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. This is what happened when you and I got attacked by demonic forces. We begin to think, well, maybe God has abandoned me. Maybe God has not remembered whatever it is. But the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If he told Joshua this, he will tell you and me the same thing. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and have a good courage unto this people, should ye divide from the inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper with it wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be you dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you, whithersoever you go. Now, he said, wherever you go, I'll be there. Joshua had the commandments that we find in the five books of Moses. You and I have the whole revelation of God in the Bible. And God is telling you and me this. Meditate in the Word. Read it. Absorb it. Believe it. And I really like that. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Did Joshua have an easy task? No. He had a hard time. He had hard times. But he succeeded. Joshua finished. He didn't fizzle out. He finished strong at the age of 110. What about you and me? Let's talk about Jesus now and Gideon. Turn to Judges chapter 6. That's the book of Judges, the 6th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Then the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus is the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I deliver you out of the hand of Egyptians and out of the hand of all the oppressed, you and drove them out from before you and gave them your land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Is that where we are today? Hopeless situation. We don't have the Midianites. We got the idiots that are ruling. We got all kind of things happening. And the prophet said, God has spoken. I've heard you cry. Now, here's what God, this is Jesus again. Here's what he did. He didn't go to a famous person in Israel. He didn't go to a powerful clan. He went to the most weakest clan they had. And he went down to a young man by the name of Gideon. And there came an angel of the Lord. Anytime you read an angel of the Lord, that means Jesus. And sat on an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained to the Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it for the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. He was a loser, hiding from the Midianites, trying to get a little bit of food so they would have something to eat. And Jesus came and said, You man of valor. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You ever felt like that? You got Midianites all over you. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? And he said to him, O my Lord, where shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Jesus came to Gideon, a young man, a nobody. Gideon began to believe. But first he had fleeces. He said, I've got to see this and that. Jesus did not get angry with him and said, Look, you knucklehead. I am Jesus. I'm the creator. Shut your mouth. Do what I tell you to. He simply said, Okay, Gideon, if that's what you need, I'll meet your needs. Listen closely now. Jesus met Gideon on Gideon's level. He didn't say, Gideon, when you got enough faith, you have prayed enough, and you have performed, I will talk to you. Jesus came down to him and said, Look, Gideon, you can do this, and you will do it. Jesus is speaking to you and me. He's simply saying this. I've seen your tears. I know the heartaches. I know the things that happen in your life. All the things that people have done to you. Loss of jobs. Loss of this or whatever it is. I've seen that. Now, my friend, Jesus says, Focus on me. Focus on me. and go in your might. What was the might of Gideon? It was Jesus. Let me just give you the story how it ended. Gideon called together a slew of people. About 30,000 people. And God came down and said, that's too many. He weeded them down. And finally got them down to 300. Now, in warfare at that time, they had what they called pathfinders. They would attack early in the morning when it still was dark, just before the dawning. And they would have pathfinders that would have a little pitcher. Inside that, an oil lamp with a cover on it. And then they would have a trumpet. And these pathfinders would go out, locate the enemy, and when they found the enemy, they would break the outer shell of this covering, hold up the light as a torch, and blow the trumpet, and at that moment, the army would simply rise and charge and clobber the enemy. That's how he was done in those days. Now, here's what Jesus said. Gideon, get yourself 300 men. Divide them into three groups. Give them a light. Give them all the trumpet. Surround the camp of the enemy. And there were many. And then when I tell you to, you have the men blow the trumpets, break out the lights, hold the light up, and blow the trumpet. Now Gideon must be thinking, that's fine, Lord, but where is the army? We would get these guys stirred up. They would see us. Only got these pathfinders. Do you understand the faith that Gideon must have had? Because he exposed himself to the enemy with no backup. But what happened? When he broke the pitchers, held up the light, and blew the trumpet, God moved in. And God had the Midianites kill themselves until they all died. He smote them. You and I always wonder, where's the money coming from? How are we going to do this job? Where do I get the manpower? How are we going to do this? And God said, don't worry about that. That is my department. What I want you to do is this. Hold up your pitcher. Let the enemy see it. Blow the trumpet and expect me to move. Gideon believed him. And Jesus became a friend of Gideon. Now turn to Daniel chapter 10. There's Daniel, the 10th chapter. And Daniel was a man that loved God. He didn't have an easy life, he had a hard life. Daniel chapter 10. If you pick it up in verse number 1. Daniel was now living in Babylon. As a young teenager, he'd been castrated. He'd been taken to Babylon as a teenager, could never marry, never have any children. And he served there for 70 years as a prime minister of the one king after the other king. And then we read this, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He was fasting and praying, seeking God. Where are you, God? 70 years have passed. And where are you? Then I lifted up, let's read verse 4, in the four and twentieth day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also was like the beryl, his face as a pair of lightning, his eyes as a lamp of fire, his arms and his feet like a collar of polished brass, and the voice of his words like a voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, also saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my countenance was turned in me to corruption. I retained no strength. He simply fell to the ground. Yet heard I the voice of his words, but I heard the voice of his words. Then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon my palms and my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent. And when he spoke his word unto me, I stood trembling. Fear not, then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to the stand, and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. Look at verse 11. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Jesus loved Daniel. He was not just loved, he was greatly beloved. Remember the scripture, now God is not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for another. And you will find here that this angel came down and ministered to Daniel and showed him things to come. And because of today, we have the prophecy. Let's talk about Jesus now. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Have you read verse number 1? Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus now knew, I have about 24 hours left to live. And it's recorded here, he loved them unto the very end. I've been preaching before here about the apostles. They were selfish. Did all kind of bad things. But Jesus loved them. And he loved them so much that he told them, I love you. I care for you. Turn to John 15:12. John 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants or slaves, for the slave knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus said, I want to be your friend. You keep my commandments. What are his commandments? To be born again, to be saved. When you walked in here for the first time, you might not remember this. But we had a person walk in here today for the first time. And I saw the whole church. We simply loved the person. Because we feel, here's a brother in Christ. It doesn't matter what part of the country he comes from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. There is a love. When you meet a Christian, there is a love. And where does that love come? It comes from the Holy Spirit within us. Now, we are told, these things I command you, that you love one another. There's nothing worse for parents when they have children and the children can't get along. And so Jesus in his church, he simply said, now, I want you to love one another. Turn to John chapter 17 now. John 17. If you pick it up here for verse number 13. I want you to hear not a prayer that Jesus had. And now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He wants you to have joy. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. 17, look at that verse again. Jesus praying to the Father, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. You and I cannot sanctify ourselves. He does. As you sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for all these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus prayed 1,950 some odd years ago, but he prayed for you and you and me. He saw you and me. Here, whatever country you live, whatever time zone you're in, whatever century you lived in. You can't hear him now. If you lived in a different century, you're dead. But if you live in a century, you can hear me. But he saw us, and he prayed for them. What was his prayer? That they all may be one, as you, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. What is a sign of God? Love. If you have a group of people from a diverse background, different education, and they come together in unity, and they love one another, the world is going to say, what's wrong with these people? Because in the world, there's no love. In the military, it's called discipline. Chain of command. And if you don't behave, there's a break, court-martial, whatever it is. In the business world, you conform because you want to make money. If you have a job, you better keep your mouth shut. You do what the boss tells you. Because if you don't, he will say you're fired. And when you're fired, there's no money. So what motivates you to conform to your boss? Money. Most workers don't love their bosses. They despise them. But they are motivated. They want to have the money. So they comply. In a church, you don't get paid. In a church, we're not rewarding you. But when we come together, when we are together in Christ, there's a love flowing out of us. Because that is our nature. If you're born again, the nature is love. The Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus wanted. That they may all be one, as you, Father, and me, and I, and do. That he also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus said this in John 14:8. John 14:8. Jesus said this. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It suffices us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you? You have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? You want to know what God thinks about you? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And when you look upon Jesus, you can see the Father. And then, turn to Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. Have you read this? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that you may be also glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You and I are joint heir with Jesus Christ. We looked upon Jesus and Abraham, Jesus and Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Daniel, and now it is you. When Jesus sees you right now, what are his emotions? His emotions are this. That's my child. I love you. I care for you. I died for you. I gave my life for you. I have gone into heaven to prepare a place for you. You're going to be with me in eternity. You are going to be a joint heir with me forever. That's what he thinks when he sees you. But then he tells us this. Before I take you home, you got a job to do. You got a job to do on this earth. And what is our job? To love one another and to bring the gospel to the unsaved people. That's our job. Turn on to Revelation 21. Here's the good news for the future. We see the Father. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and shall be and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. After the great white throne judgment. But we move into the new creation. You're going to come in to be with God the Father. And I guarantee you this on the Word of God. He will pick you up. He will pick you up, the Father will. And you might say, well, there's a lot of people there. We got eternity. Time doesn't matter. And I believe that day the Father will look you in the eyes and say, I love you. Welcome home. He will wipe your tears off. And he will say to you, you will never more remember the bad things. You will never more remember those that rejected Christ. It might have been a wife. It might have been a husband. He might have been a child. He might have been a relative. In those moments when you're in your Father's arm, he will say, you will never more remember them. I will erase them from your memory. And then you will look up on his face and realize the Bible was true. He really does love me. That will be a highlight for each one of us. The Father's love. that day is coming. I want to read from Acts 10:34. Acts 10:34. We might have a hard time on earth right now. All kind of difficulties. But one day, we will sit in the lap of the Father. And he will say, son, daughter, I love you. He will wipe your tears. You will not remember the bad things evermore. In Acts 10:34, we read this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. There you have it. God is not a respecter of person. Every one of us here today and you that are watching, he loves us equally. Equally. He has no respect of persons. And if he give me something nice, he will give you something nice. Let's close with Matthew 11 now. Matthew chapter 11. And these are the words of Jesus. Speaking to you and me today. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is that you? That's me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I'll learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is what Jesus said. If I pull together this sermon right now, what did I want you to hear this morning? What did God want us to hear? He wants you now to accept him. He is your friend. He is in your corner. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will see you through. There might be difficulties. There might be losses. But let me tell you this. If there is a loss here, God will bring a greater grain over here. Satan can never destroy more than God can bless. All you have to do now is to simply say this. Do you believe that this is the word of God? If it is, stand on it and begin to proclaim, God is my friend. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you have given me assurance that you are my friend. You're my friend. You're in my corner. And you will never leave me nor forsake me. And someday, I will go home. And you will take care of me then, as you do now. And Father God, I just pray for everyone here today. And I pray for those that are watching. That you will make this a reality. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, illuminate these words that were spoken today and read. Let them explode in each person today. They begin to say, oh, God is my friend. I can relax now. If you're watching and you say this, I'm not even saved. Can I have these benefits? Yes, you can. All you have to do is to say, God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross and rose on the third day. I believe you paid for my sins. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. And be my Lord and Savior. And he will. You make that commitment now, and you'll be saved. And Jesus will be your friend. Call us, write us. Let us help you. Give you some literature. Encourage you in Jesus' name. Here at the Resurrection Life of Jesus, the altars are open. Elders are here. You come. If you want to be anointed with oil, prayed for, whatever need you have. Maybe you simply says, I have a hard time to believe that God really can love me. Maybe you are sick. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe whatever it is that you have a need of. Take this opportunity and be prayed for. In Jesus' name, you come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, Can I Trust God? The Bible tells us that God is not a respecter of persons, and what He will do for one, He will do for others. Pastor John brought out the relationship Jesus had with various individuals and how He dealt with them. He allowed Abraham to challenge him, showed Moses the promised land despite his sin, assured Joshua of future success, encouraged Gideon to become bold, and sent an angel to Daniel with a message of love. When we read the four gospel accounts, there is no doubt that Jesus loved the people He met on a daily basis. Likewise, your Heavenly Father also loves you very much. He is your friend, and you can rest securely in His love. Jesus said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." For that reason, there should be no fear or doubt. God is your friend, now and for eternity. So start enjoying your walk with Jesus today. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1352. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.